There are some things we're going to talk about tonight, and I want you to take them into your spirit. And I don't want you to let them go in and out one ear. I want you to take them into your spirit and let God do something in your life with them. Jesus desires that all believers meet with him in the realms of glory. Are you listening? I'll wait till you're all done talking. Are you listening? Jesus desires that all believers meet with him in the realms of glory where he resides so that we can see his glory and splendor. Did you hear that? That's God's desire, that we reside in his realms of glory. The world does not know God, but Jesus knows who God is and what God does, making all his names and attributes known to us so God's love can dwell within us. Jesus prayed for our oneness in God. If believers in Jesus continue to lack the reality of a spiritual union with God, not operating in and mirroring the Father's love for Christ to others, but remain divided, the world will never come to know the love of Christ, and his death will seem to have been in vain. Did you get that? God is love. The last great move of God will come to usher in the final harvest of souls. When the church, and this is what we're in right now, when the church of Jesus Christ unites as one, learns to first love themselves, then one another, and finally their enemies, when we stand united as one to preach a gospel of the kingdom in the powerful substance of God's love, his weighty presence will ignite the realms of glory to release signs, wonders, and creative miracles. When we do all that, then the signs, wonders, and miracles are going to occur. Now, I feel with all my heart that this church has come into unity and that we are ready now for God to release the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. Amen. You've all been very, very good at listening to what God has told you to do and then receiving what he wants to give to you. You've gotten out of your flesh, I think, and we're walking in the Spirit continually. All right, when this supernatural anointing of God's glorious love surrounds our lives and we walk as one new man, that's when the miracles are going to happen. When this supernatural anointing of God's glorious love surrounds our lives and we walk as one new man, the kingdom of God will be manifest on earth as it is in heaven. Come on. When this supernatural anointing of God's glorious love surrounds our lives and we walk as one new man, the kingdom of God will be manifest on earth as it is in heaven. All right? Many miss the calling of God on their lives because... two pages stuck together. In the presence of God, we discover who we were created to be in Christ. And see, this is what I'm hoping that you've all done so far, that you've been in the presence of God and you realize who you were created to be. And what God is calling you to be. Not what people say you are. Not what you perceive yourself to be. But what God has called you to be. The greatest power in the universe is love. Now, I've been talking to somebody in the church. And they said you have to grab hold of something. You know I walk in a fivefold. Now, this is nothing to brag. I'm not bragging. I'm just making a statement here so y'all understand that I know who I am in Christ Jesus. God told me one time, you walk into fivefold ministry, all right? And then one day, 2 years ago, I was standing right there preaching, and, you know, you can preach and God can speak to you, you know that, don't you? And God told me, he said, you are an apostle. Now, you don't see that in front of my name anywhere, but I do know what God is telling me. And just the other day, God said, I want you to think back from the very first day you ever opened the church, and look at what you've been doing ever since you opened a church. And I've been teaching, training, and sending forth. That's been over 30 years ago now. So you see, I do know who I am, but I don't have to brag about it. But I am taking what somebody said to me last night into consideration. And I'm seeking God's face to see what he wants me to do with it. All right? God told me one time he doesn't like titles, but yet he gives us titles. All right, so you know that sort of gets me a little bit confused. But he said, I do not like titles, but yet he gives us titles. And I really think, I know what he's talking about, because too many people give themselves titles. You know, when we was in the revival all the time, people come to say, I'm Bishop so-and-so. I want a front seat. You know what, Bishop so-and-so, you can have a back seat if that's what's there. I'm not making somebody move because you walked into the church. I just don't do that. I don't reserve a section for all the pastors. You know, we're all human beings. We all put our pants on the same way, right? I hope so, anyhow. And, you know, we all put our shoes on the right, same way. And so why should we give you a special place to sit? I think that's the problem with the body of Christ. We give... You are supposed to honor the minister. I'm not saying you're not. I'm really not saying that. But I think we have puffed up ministers because we always, you know, exalt them instead of Jesus. And I really, I've never done that, and I'm never going to do that. And I hope you don't do that either. I mean, give honor and respect to your minister. Give honor and respect to those that God has put into authority. But let's not make them above God. And this is what sometimes happens in churches. They're really exalted above God, and that's not right. Look who just walked through the door. You know, well, I hope you're looking for Jesus to walk through the door. Amen. Come on. I've had people say, look, the prophet's come. They hear the prophet's here. Hear the prophet. Make sure everybody talks to the prophet. You know, people have said that. But that doesn't mean a thing to me, because if Jesus didn't walk in with me, I'm nothing. Are you understanding this? And see, I'm telling you this because this goes along with this torch that I'm going to talk about tonight. People exalt themselves too much. You know, last night when we were up here dancing and singing, wasn't that neat? But I noticed a few people that you can't even let go of what you perceive as your spirituality. And you can't even let go and just sing and dance. You always have to be, I want to hear a word. I want to hear what God's saying. That's religion. You need to stop that. You know, I know who I am, but I can dance and sing and jump too. I don't have to say, God, no, I've got to be real spiritual here, but you have to say we're about singing and dancing and jumping. No, that is not God. That is a religious spirit that you have to get rid of. And you cannot carry a torch as long as you have that religious spirit. Come on. You know, I used to go into one church all the time. Every year I go there. And every time I would minister, a lot of times the pastor was in the sound booth. And I would go to him and say, you have more anointing than the pastor does. And I knew he was a pastor. Well, lo and behold, I didn't know that down the road, this pastor was going to leave that church. And another pastor was going to take it. So what God was saying to him, the new pastor that's coming in does not have as much anointing as what you have. And him and I would laugh. I said, why do I always tell you that? I know who you are. He said, I don't know. He said, he would just laugh. It was embarrassing to me because I thought maybe I wasn't hearing God right. But here he is. And the pastor took over the church and does not have the anointing that the other pastor did. So, you know, we just have to go ahead and let God be God and let God do what he wants to do. And let's just go on and we're going to be torch carriers after tonight, all right? All right, many miss the calling of God on their lives because they are too slow to start. Sometimes God will say to you, I want you to do it right now. And that's what he means that. He wants you to do it right now. Oh, I don't know what you want me to do. Well, be Abraham. Pack up your bags and just do. Amen. Others get into ministry and quickly become so busy doing things for the Lord that they fail to draw close to him. All right. A successful Christian life will not be based on how much work we have done, but rather on how close to the Lord we have become and how obedient we have been. All right? There are two goals we should all have in life. One is to become so obedient to Christ that literally all of our thoughts are obedient to him. Now, I'm teaching how to be a torch carrier, all right? The second is that we want to be more at home in the heavenly realm than the earthly, just as the Apostle Paul said about himself. You're not comfortable anymore just walking around here in this world, just being what everybody else is being. You want to be up there in the heavenly realm, walking in the Spirit, doing and being what God wants you to do and be. Amen. See, this is what this covers whenever you can't get up here and sing and dance and just forget about what God uses you to do. If you just can't get up here and just enter in with what God just wants us to dance and rejoice. That's all he wants us to do. And, you know, if you can't do that, then you're not good for God. You really aren't, because you'll always have that religious spirit popping up and stopping what God really wants to do. I know some of you think, well, who does she think she is? She won't let me do something. No, I know who I am, and I know what you want to do is not really what God wants done. And if I let everybody do everything they want to do, we would have a zoo. Are you understanding this? I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just trying to lead us in the right direction so we can do the things that God would have us to do so that the anointing will destroy every yoke that we talked about. 2 Corinthians 3:7. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how would the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Now, this states that the glory we are supposed to be experiencing in the new covenant is greater than what Moses experienced. Are you hearing this? This states that the glory we are supposed to be experiencing in the new covenant is greater than what Moses experienced. Moses met with the Lord face to face and even had to put a veil over his own face because of the glory that reflected from him. Now, we would look awful silly walking around in church with veils over our faces, wouldn't we? Come on. We are supposed to be experiencing something greater than that. All right? One of the ultimate questions of our time should be, where is the glory then in me? Where is the glory in me? One thing we can count on before the end of this age is that the glory of the Lord will be manifested in his people just as we are promised. In Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. I think it was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, that God gave us. This was our scripture for the year, and we even had it up on the wall. So then God said, arise, shine, for your light has come. He was telling the whole church this, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He was saying the glory of the Lord is already upon us 3 years ago. All right? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. So in all this deep darkness that we're seeing out there, the glory of the Lord should be seen upon us. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. At the very time darkness is covering the earth and deep darkness the people, the glory of the Lord is rising on his people and appearing to them. I want you to understand that you are going to be a torch. You are a torch carrier, and the glory of the Lord is going to be upon you. And that glory is going to draw people to you, the Christ in you. And when it does, your job is to tell them about Jesus Christ. All right. This is the time we are in Revelations 4, 1 and 2. Is that where I'm at? Yeah. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne sat in heaven, and one sat on the throne. All right. Hasn't God called us many times as a church to come up here? And it says, immediately I was in the spirit, but we didn't immediately get in the spirit. We didn't. And behold, a throne sat in heaven, and one sat on the throne. See, God called us up, but for some reason or other, we were held down. We could not go completely up there and see this revelation. There was a door standing open in heaven, and there was an invitation for us to go through it. That invitation is still there. God told us he has not withdrawn that invitation. So anytime you want to go, you can go if you're in the spirit. All right? So that's why we're supposed to walk in the spirit all the time. It's just not every now and then. We have to be spirit people. Whoever answers this call will always be seeing the one who sits on the throne. How many of you in here has God said, you're going to see me face to face? That's you. Whoever answers this call will always be seeing the one who sits on the throne. That's why some of you see angels in here and others say, really? Some of us see an open heaven. They said, really? A portal, I mean, you know. I said, I saw Jesus' face right here all during the praise and worship. They said, really? I didn't see nothing. It's because you're not in the spirit the way you ought to be. All right? You're still trying to work things out, trying to figure out what's going on. Quit trying to work them out. Quit trying to figure out what's going on and just be. Amen? Come on. The ultimate purpose of all true prophetic revelation is seeing the risen Christ and the authority that he now has over all. The ultimate purpose of all true prophetic revelation is seeing the risen Christ and the authority that he now has over all. True Christianity is the greatest adventure that anyone can ever have on this earth. True Christianity, not religion, but true Christianity. True church life, the way it was intended to be, is a supernatural experience. Come on, guys. True church experience is a supernatural life. And how many times has God said to us, I want you to walk in the supernatural. I want you to walk in the supernatural. I want you to walk in the supernatural. And you're saying, duh, what does that mean? Amen? It is life from another realm beyond this earth that brings true life to the earth. God spoke and said, the sword has come. But before you can take the sword, you must take the torch and become a torch bearer. God has been speaking to the body of Christ about being a light for the dark, dark world. As God spoke this desire of his heart to the church, he was also placing a torch in our hands. God started the fire that was in the torch, but he expects the body of Christ to keep it burning. Each one of you are carrying a torch. It's your job to keep that torch burning. All right? And you can't deal with religion. It has to be in the spirit. This torch is the light of God's presence. In other words, here comes Jesus. Amen? It's supposed to be looked just like Jesus, right? And that's whenever your torch is burning the brightest. Number one, if we do not walk close to the Lord, we will not be able to hold the torch. Number two, if we drift from the presence of God, the torch will become heavy. Number three, if we drift very far from God, we will have to lay it down. Then someone else will pick it up and carry it. Come on. This torch is ours to carry as long as we stay close to God. You can't willy-nilly walk in and out of the presence of God. You have to stay close to God. That's why you have a black area and a white area. There's no gray area. You're either walking with God or you're not. Well, just for this day, I won't walk with him. Well, then just forget the whole nine yards. Amen. You're supposed to walk with him all the time. This torch breathes the air of heaven, not earth. Every breath you give out should be heavenly breath. Amen. No power on earth can put it out if the torchbearer walks with God in this realm. No power on earth can put it out if the torchbearer walks with God in this realm. Its brightness and power depend on the life of the torchbearer. Its brightness and power depend on the life of the torchbearer and on how close he stays to God. What do you want from God? How much do you want from God? If you want everything he has, then you'll walk really close to him. You'll get rid of all sin in your life, and you'll just walk with God. You won't want to walk the way of Baal. You want to walk the way of God all the time. You want to walk in heavenly places with him. Your heart's cry will constantly be, Father God, I need to go higher. I need to go higher because where I'm at right now is not sufficient. I need to go higher. We need to go from glory to glory to glory. And we can't say, I'm walking in the spirit today, and then tomorrow act like the devil. You can't do that. You just cannot do that. At this given time, there would be many who carry the torch. You would know the torch bearers when you meet them. I know who carries the torch in here. We must encourage and help one another. Because torch bearers cannot stand alone, they must join with other torch bearers, which is unity. If you're a person that causes disunity, you're not carrying no torch. Come on. When we do, we will be able to overcome the power of the evil that will confront us. When we get together in total unity and we stand together, then we'll be able to overcome the evil that's in the, and the evil's dark. It's really dark. It's gotten greater than ever. And this is why God said you're no longer dealing with demons. You're dealing with the devil's biggest demons that he has. You're not out there dealing with them little tiny things that just sort of makes your day bad. Amen. That's why we do exorcisms and not deliverances. Torchbearers will be able to set people, cities, and even nations free with the light of the torch. Come on. Torchbearers will be able to set people, cities, and even nations free with the light of the torch. Remember, this torch is the presence of our Father and also the sword of the Spirit. This torch is the presence of our Father and also the sword of the Spirit. God upholds the universe with His Word. And it is God's Word that enables a torchbearer to hold the torch. God upholds the universe with His Word, and it is God's Word that enables a torchbearer to hold the torch. You know, as you read the Word of God, you should become the Word. And then wherever you go, the Word, you know, people just feel the Word that is in you. You don't even have to open your mouth and say nothing. You don't even have to talk about the Bible. They will just feel the Word that's in you. They'll feel the power of God that's in you. They'll see the light. You don't have to open your mouth and act like you're all that and then some, right? You don't have to show people how important you are. Good grief. Just be a light. In other words, don't act like the world. Get the Word deep down inside of you, and then people will feel that Word when you're around them. People always told me, there's something different about you. I just thought it was weird. I mean, I didn't know what he was talking about. But what they were saying is, we can feel the light. We can feel the Word in you. Amen? Come on. God upholds the universe with His Word, and it is God's Word that enables a torchbearer to hold the torch. The torch is the light of God's presence, and it is also what we call a movement. It's prosperity, faith, healing, and laughter. You know, people come in here, I watch people that have never been here before, and they come here and they look at us and say, what are they doing? And, you know, I pray for them. I said, God, don't let them leave before they realize what we are doing. You know, and they're sitting there just staring, saying, is this really God? It is really God. And see, this, and I read an article today where God is really upset with the fact that churches are not, the mega churches are not carrying His Spirit. And, you know, and He's upset with that. That's because they become so formal, and they have to hold a certain image. Well, you know what? What is the image? The image is God, right? Come on. And if you have God, it doesn't matter what you do, by George. God will be there, and He'll just do what He needs to do. God is the living truth, and truth, which is, I'm sorry, God is the living truth, and truth, which is living, is always moving. In other words, we're always going deeper and deeper into God. We're not staying up here on the surface, but we're going deeper and deeper. In the beginning, the Holy Spirit moved, and He has not stopped moving because life moves. I was in enough dry churches in my young years, and I don't care to go back to that ever again. You know, where you had to sing Psalm 52 and 56 and a 10-minute sermon and goodbye. I don't want no more of that. I haven't wanted it for 30-some years since 77. And I even told God, that's how I became born again, because I walked out of the Methodist church that day, and I walked out there. The men were all telling dirty stories, smoking their cigarettes. The women were all gossiping, and I stood there looking around. I said, God, if this is all there is to You, I'm walking away from You because I don't want this. I don't want this, Father. And the very next day, I got a phone call from somebody who didn't know me, and I didn't know her. God gave her my telephone number and my name, and she invited me to a meeting. And it was that men's meeting, what's it called? The Full Gospel Men's Meeting. And I became born again that night. See, God heard me. He listened to me, and He got me out of that dry church atmosphere and put me into the Spirit. So, see, don't tell me that God won't do that to you, because if you're hungry enough, He'll give you what you want. And if you're content where you're at, then He'll let you alone too. I said, God, if this is all there is to You, I don't want You. I'm walking away. Been going to church all my life, God, and I'm just tired of this. The pastor stands up and gives a 10-minute sermon. You know, they sit out there and smoke cigarettes and gossip. I mean, they were telling dirty stories, and women were gossiping. And I just stood and looked and said, this is church. This is God. I don't believe so. And I didn't know anything I know today. But God knew what He was doing with me. And He made me get upset with what I was seeing so He could move me. Amen? He'll do the same for you. He'll get you so upset at the dryness that you'll just cry out to Him, and He'll water you really good. How about He really will? He dropped his anointing on me, and I didn't even know he was even anointed. I didn't know what anointing was, you know. You don't have to. I didn't know anything that I didn't know anything. You don't have to come to him as little children. Just tell him what you want. Not the next door neighbor's wife, you know. But just tell him what you want spiritually. And he'll pour it into you. He really will. And don't expect a pastor to pour it into you, because we can't. It's God. It's really God that does it. If we are able to endure to the end, we must stay close to the source of the light and fire. If we are to endure to the end, we must stay close to the source of the light and fire. He is moving, and you must not stop moving. If you've already taken God's hand and said, God, use me, then keep on moving with him. I don't care what kind of affliction you go through. I don't care how deep the valley is. Keep right on moving with him, because and you'll fuss and moan and groan and complain. I hope you don't, though. We learned that, right? We learned not to do that, right? We're not going to go there back there again. But you won't fuss, moan, and groan. You'll just keep on going, knowing his grace is sufficient. Amen. His grace is sufficient. Come on, guys. He is moving, and you must not stop. The torch is offered to all of God's messengers. But only a few have carried it, and fewer still have carried it for very long. I was reading how pastors are just quitting their churches just right and left because they're grown weary. They can't stand. They're dumb sheep. You know, and so they just quit. They're going out and found secular jobs. So, but only a few have carried it, and fewer still have carried it for very long. Have I got discouraged? Absolutely. The last 10 years, I was discouraged enough to quit so many times you can't even count them on your hands and toes. But God said, nope, keep on going. There's better for you ahead. Just keep on going. And anybody that knows me knows that I really wanted to quit. But then I also remember the vision of God. See, God always forewarns you. Remember, he gave me that vision of all these dead bodies on the both sides of the road. And I said, God, what is that? He said, these are pastors who fell along the wayside. Don't you ever become one of those. So every time I really wanted to quit, I saw that vision. And I promise God to God, I'll never, ever, ever quit you. And anything you say that about, you're going to be tested on. Amen. Tonight, God is saying, if you will stay close to him, you will take the torch and draw many to God. Yeah. But if you take this torch and then lay it down, you can also be used to do much evil. How? You will start ministering out of your own flesh, and you will start false doctrines. All right? You know, once you become popular, and then you do something and fall along the wayside, people still look up to you. And you won't quit the ministry. You'll just keep plodding along because you like the money or whatever they're giving you. Then you'll just start working out of your flesh, and then you take many, many people down with you. Once you are given the torch, many people's lives will be affected by yours, by your life. All right? Once you are given the torch, many people's lives will be, in other words, if God gave you a torch and you're a torch bearer, every place you go, your life is going to affect somebody else's life. Everything you speak is going to affect somebody else. Are you listening? So, don't want to be a torchbearer unless you're really willing to give up all of your flesh and not go back to the old lifestyle. Always remember that God's Spirit will go with his torchbearers, and it will convict them when they have a tendency to drift from God. I'm here to tell you, if you ever have a tendency to drift from God, God will prod you really hard. He'll take his club and hitch up alongside the head and say, what are you doing? This is not what I wanted you to do. Get moving. Get up and keep moving. I didn't call you to sit. I called you to move. God will not force the torchbearers to follow him. Even with all we have said, we must follow God's Spirit and not our flesh. Everyone who does not love God more than sin and wickedness will fall. Everyone who does not love the truth more than they love the praises of men will fall. If you love God and his truth more than the idols that the world now worships, you will not fall. Read that again. If you love God and his truth more than the idols that the world now worships, you will not fall. You know, this is where it comes, if you're a torchbearer, this is where it comes to the point you have to be different. You have to be able to receive rejection. You have to learn how to walk alone. You have to learn how to let go of your friends. I mean, you know, if you're a torchbearer, this is what you have to do. And you'll lose many, many friends once you really are a torchbearer. Because you're going to all of a sudden be very peculiar and very different. You're no longer going to be a gossiper, a backbiter, and you're not going to fit in. All right? This will be your daily choice, to follow God or serve the idols that can easily take your affection off of God. This torch will give you energy. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. I said this torch will give you energy. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. God will give you life. Even when you're dead, tired, God will strengthen you to go ahead and get up and keep moving. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, we read where God spoke his life into all things, right? Therefore, as we abide in him and do his will, we will begin to flow with his life force, which is in all of the living. We will begin to flow with his life force. Yeah, you don't have to flow in your own flesh. God will fill you with himself. He will give you the strength. He will give you the ability. He will give you the revelation that you need to go ahead and do the works for him. As we help others to come alive, the life grows in us also. In other words, as you give out, God gives you more. As other people grow, you grow also. Don't ever be afraid to give out what you have. In fact, God wants us to give out what he gives us, because our well should never run dry. Never, ever run dry. I don't care how deep the valley I've ever been in, my well never ran dry. The anointing has always been there. The calling has always been there. Amen? I'm sorry, if you think your flesh is going to help you, it is not. But your well will never run dry. Where am I at, Nancy? We must not worship the life force, the torch. We can get so caught up in the torch's energy that we take our eyes off the source of the torch. In other words, you're going to get so caught up in yourself and what God is doing through you that you're going to forget that if it wouldn't be for God, you wouldn't be doing anything. All right? That's what I'm saying there. Therefore, I can say that you will only stay on the path of life if you seek the source of life, which is God. You will only stay on the path of life if you seek the source of life. We see many fall under even the slightest touch of his spirit and can become drunk in the spirit by just a taste of the spirit. However, now listen, torchbearers. However, the priest had to learn to stand and minister even in the presence of his glory. If you yield your body to this life, you will be drunken. But if you yield your spirit, you will be quickened, strengthened, and see even more clearly. The torchbearers, and I've told you this many times, must train the coming ones not to seek to feel good and not to become intoxicated by this power, but to be sober, able to see clearly, and function in their duty. Amen? This is what I say, you know, like when you dance up here, if you're sitting there just being caught up in the spirit, you're not really a torchbearer because you can't stand and function in the anointing that's going through your body. I mean, there's times I can't even hardly stand, but I have to make myself stand. There was times before when the anointing beyond me was so strong that people really have to walk with me in case I fell down because I would keep stumbling. But I was training myself then to be able to carry the anointing and still function in what God was calling me forth to do. Amen. So this is what I've been trying to teach you guys, to carry the anointing but still function. All right? Okay. We can set nations on fire with his torch. This is the same fire that Moses saw in the burning bush. This is the same fire that God sent with him to set his people free. It is what God is about to send with his messengers to again set his people free. You guys are going to go forth as torchbearers and set people free. In the workplace, in the mall, in the grocery store, anywhere you go, you carry that torch with you, and you will set people free. That the torchbearer is just not supposed to be inside the four walls getting more fire. You're supposed to be also out there in your daily lives, being a torchbearer, excuse me, and touching other people's lives. Excuse me. I've told you before, I've been in grocery stores. I've been in many different places. And because I was a torchbearer, because the anointing was there, I touched people's lives without even touching them. All right? And this is what I'm trying to teach you. Become so full of the Holy Spirit that wherever you go, you won't have to do nothing to nobody. The anointing in you will just jump out and touch people. And you don't say, oh, well, look what I just did. No, you didn't do nothing. Amen? Come on. It was the Holy Spirit in you, the anointing in you, that jumped out and touched other people. Now, I'm going to tell you, whenever you become a true torchbearer and carry that kind of an anointing, people are going to become extremely jealous of you. Especially ministers who don't have the anointing. And they will put you down at every turn. Amen? So you're going to have to be able to be a torchbearer and carry that also. You're going to have to be able to carry the fact that people will say you're of the devil. Try to get people not to go near you. Try to get people not to trust you. But you know what? You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to vindicate yourself. You just walk on. God will vindicate you. I don't even care if God ever vindicates me. I really don't care because, you know, I know who I am. And I know I'm called to do a work for God. And I just do it. And I don't care if you like it or not. Right? We're just doing God's work, right? And if you're out there talking about me and that tells me right then and there, you don't have enough of God in you. Because you're not supposed to be talking about another minister. What you need to do, if you think they're not of God, take it to God and he'll tell you to shut up. And pray for them. I'm serious because I know how that works. I don't talk about other ministers, but I do know what they've come and said, you know, this is what God told me. I was complaining to God about you, and he told me to shut up. It's none of their business what he was doing with me. And it really isn't anybody else's business what God is doing with you. It really isn't. It's God's business. He's the one that called you. He's the one that anointed you. He's the one that appointed you. He's the one that sent you forth. It is what God is about to send with his messengers to again set his people on fire. And this is his fire. Let me pray. It will consume the wood, the hay, and stubble, but it will purify the gold, silver, and precious stones in every life. Luke 12:49, once again we read it. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Jesus said, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. The time has come. The fire is now kindled. Y'all know that. Each one of you know the fire inside of you has been kindled. Do you not? If you don't know that, then you need to get up here and get retouched because you're dead. The fire inside of you is kindled now. God has brought his fire and he has touched this church with his fire, this church with his fire. And he has placed a torch in our hands. And we are commissioned to go and make other fire starters all across this nation. Come on. When you go out to evangelize, God will move through you like you wouldn't believe. And you know what? The pastor that invited you will tell all the pastors to come and see and hear and get touched. And then all of a sudden, when all the pastors are saying, how wonderful she is, the pastor says, you don't want to trust her. And turn everybody against you. So are you able to bear that? Because that's going to happen to you. Jealousy in the body of Christ is awful. It's an ugly thing. You don't have to be jealous. All you have to do is just cry out to God. See, I want, what did Elijah do? I hope I got the names right. He said, I want a double portion of what Elijah had. If I got the names right. If I didn't, you can turn them around. So that's all you have to do. God, I want, that's what I used to say. God, I want what they've got. I want that anointing. That's why I got hurt twice. Yeah, because I wanted what they had and I already had it. But because I didn't feel it, didn't understand it, I thought I didn't have anything. So just because you don't feel it, don't understand it, doesn't mean you aren't already a torchbearer, all right? It doesn't mean you don't already have the anointing, because it's inside of you. And the Holy Spirit's there too. All you have to do is just let God use you. Oh, I read that. Now, I typed all that up and said that little last paragraph, and then God starts speaking. So this next thing is God speaking. If you want a copy of this, it's out on the lobby somewhere on the table. This is what God said then. Touch one life, and that life will touch another life, and that life will touch another life. And soon the entire church will be on fire with my glory, and all who step into my realm of fire will be changed forever. Consumed. Consumed by my fire, consumed by my presence, consumed by my glory, to the point that you will not know if you are in this world or in my world. All will be glorious and all will be so supernatural that you will just keep going from one realm of glory to another. Oh, don't you see what I have started? Don't you see what I am going to accomplish through each of you? You are my chosen vessels of honor that I am working through, and each and every one of you will accomplish all that I have purposed for your life. God knew who was going to be here tonight. This God gave me this word when I was through studying. So it's for you guys. The trials have been hard and long, sometimes to the point of death. But you kept on going, and now you are being rewarded with my fire, my glory, my love. And you will sweep through the nations like a wildfire, and you shall destroy the works of the enemy, and you shall know me as you have never known me before. Now, this is the part of what I'm getting at tonight. Dance, children, dance before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Tonight, just dance and set the captives free by faith. Step on the enemy's head and tear down his stronghold of division. Have I not spoken and will I not bring it to pass? I have and I will. Amen. Now, a copy of this prophetic word is in the back on the table. If you want it, you can pick it up. If you don't, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you right now, when God started speaking to us, I said, wow, this is neat. Look, you know, you need to get a copy and read it again and see what God said you are. Amen. You know, if you think people have talked about the Lighthouse Church now, you wait till we get our new poster we're going to put out on the building. It's going to say Lighthouse Church, Hub of Revival. Yeah. We've already ordered it. Because years ago, God told me, he said, you're going to be a hub. This church is going to be a hub of revival. And then years later, a couple years later, somebody prophesied and said God told them that he has churches that he has set apart to be hubs for revival. So guys, get ready to be talked about again, because I tell you, you know what? We're doing something right, because we're always being talked about. You need to understand this. And that's why people come in here and get so upset and leave, because they can't get what we have. And so they get jealous and get out of here, and they take everybody else with them and they talk about us. And you know what God said? He said he's not going to allow them to come back either. He's not going to allow them to come back and walk, you know, hang on my coattail or however that goes. He's not going to do it. He said, they talked about you. They tried to destroy you, but couldn't. No man can destroy me. Each one of you need to understand, guys, you're torchbearers. No man can destroy you because man didn't call you. Are you listening? God called you. God anointed you. It's God in you that's doing the works, not man out there somewhere telling you. I really dislike it when you're under somebody. They dictate every move you make. That is not God. You know, many people have left here, and God said they aren't supposed to be leaving. I want them to stay here because I need to teach them something so I can take them where I want them to go. I never tell people that. If you want to leave, there's a door. I'm not being ignorant. What I'm saying is I don't control you. You know, and God doesn't control you. We are led by the Spirit of God. And you can go wherever you want to go and do whatever you want to do, as long as it's in God's will. Now, I taught you all this night to teach you that you're torchbearers. And don't let that light go out. Stay in the presence of the Almighty God. You know, you sit here and say, well, she keeps saying it. I do keep saying it because God said it. The glory is good. The big glory drop is coming, and we are the hub of revival. God is going to do mighty great signs, wonders, and miracles here. We're going to get another new great big building, and God is just going to move, and He's going to move, and He's going to move. And I don't care what anybody else says. That's what God says. That's what you need to get in your spirit. What has God said to you? Do you know, if it wouldn't be for knowing what God said to me, I wouldn't be standing here today. But I know that I know that I know what God has spoken to me. Amen. I'm going to tell you the story about how I got ordained again. Just so you need to hear this so you know how to react. You know, when I was ordained, I only got ordained because the law said I had to be. I don't know how long I had church before I finally did it. And when I went up to the church, I called the pastor and Ray Chamberlain and up in Maryland. And he said, sure, come on up. I'll do it. When I got up there, he treated me like a piece of dirt. I thought, what is this? He said, come on up on the platform. They wouldn't let me go on the platform until he was ready to ordain me. You know, usually they bring you up there. He said, come on up. We're going to ordain you. I went up there so embarrassed. And I sit down. And when he started reading my credentials, which wasn't nothing, just went to college, that's all I ever did. But anyhow, he started reading, and he read it like I had never done anything too. And I was so embarrassed. I said, God, if you don't want me to do this, you say so. I'll get up and I'll be embarrassed, but I'll get up and I'll walk down there and I'll sit back down in my seat. About then, the pastor started crying. He said, wait, hold everything. He said, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. And he turned around and he started to give me honor. And then he read my credentials, and it was like I had went out there and, you know, conquered the world. And when it was all said and done, see, God, you know why God did it that way, Tina? He did it that way so I would know that I know that I know that He called me, because He knew what I was going to go through. And He wanted me to know it was Him that ordained me. And the pastor said, I'm not ordaining this young lady. Her people aren't ordaining her. This congregation isn't ordaining her. The Holy Spirit of God is ordaining her tonight. He'll give you something to hold on to because He knows what you're going to fight. Amen. And after it's all said and done, his wife walked up to me. She said, honey, I saw how embarrassed she was. And I kept praying you would not get up and walk away, because I knew that's what you wanted to do. Because she said, I knew the minute you walked this building, you were of God. No matter what, another pastor wouldn't talk to them and run me down. And she said, no matter what the other pastor said, I knew that you were of God. So you see, God vindicated me there. You know, guys, He'll do the very same thing to you. If you're going to be a torchbearer, you're going to have to be able to endure all kind of persecution. Now, can you do that? Can you really do that? Well, anyhow, what God said, I got away from what God wouldn't do. What God said here is, and we're going to do this, dance, children, dance before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have some music all prepared. The altar area is open, and we're going to dance. And He said, tonight, just dance and set the captives free by faith. Step on the enemy's head and tear down his stronghold of division. All right? We're going to get some music started here, and the altar's open. I want you to go up here and just dance. Just dance, and just don't dance in one spot. We have the whole altar area here. Just go ahead and just tear it up. He said, step on the enemy's head. Isn't that what He said? Step on the enemy's head. Destroy. Do you know people that the enemy has bound? Get up here and dance on that enemy's head and set those people free. This is what God just said.